Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Today is March 10th, 2022, and our first story. China is threatening retaliation against the U.S. over potential sanctions. The U.S. has warned devastating sanctions could hit China if they keep supporting Russia. Naturally, the media is lying about basically everything, and China has called the U.S. an empire of lies. In our next story, annual inflation hits 7.9%, the fastest rate since 1982, and once again, the White House, the media, they're lying to you. And in our last story, J.K. Rowling slams socialist YouTuber Vosh after he says women should shut up and be quiet. If you like the show, give us a good review, leave us 5 stars, share the show with your friends. Now, let's get into that first story. Russia has rejected Ukraine's neutrality proposal. High-level talks see no progress after Ukraine hospital attack. Basically, the Russians are saying, well, we had to attack this hospital. Ultra-right-wing radicals had taken it over. And the West says that's not true. These are just war crimes. And censorship is making it impossible to really understand what's going on. But it's not just censorship. It's fog of war. It's propaganda. And it's manipulation. Right now, in terms of escalation, the story that seems to be the most pressing is that China has threatened retaliation if U.S. sanctions Chinese firms for working with Russia. The United States has threatened China that these firms are effectively helping Russia bypass all of these sanctions, and the U.S. will enact swift and devastating penalties against these Chinese firms. China says they've accused the U.S. of dangerous biolabs operating them in response and called the U.S. an empire of lies. Well, the U.S. certainly lies all the time. Jen Psaki just lied recently about the Florida Don't Say Gay bill, and it becomes increasingly difficult to lend any credibility to the U.S. government when they lie all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. China and Russia are lying all the time, too. And we here, regular folks, are just caught in the middle. But right now, it seems that there is a very real risk of escalation. With Chinese bank sanctions, we're now getting reports of mass censorship across the board. Even DuckDuckGo, known for allowing you to get unfettered, unfiltered results, has announced they're going to censor what they say is dangerous Russian disinformation. The game does not work. The U.S. needs to get their head out of their asses because playing the censorship game of spitting on regular people and lying to them makes it hurts your credibility. It makes it harder for you to achieve your goals. It's just so mind-numbingly insane. But there's desperation in the eyes of those in the West. Now, of course, Russia and China are playing their game as well, and they're concerned as well. China's got way more censorship than we do, but we have censorship. Russia has way more censorship in many ways than we do. But of course, every government is trying to play this game, and it never works. Even in China, there are people who are able to get the word across. Even in Russia, people are spreading information. These old boomer age world leaders are dragging us towards nuclear annihilation. And they're too stupid to realize that half of the world has moved beyond this insanity. We have the internet. We have options. Information cannot be stopped. They try to plug all these holes. It just doesn't work. So I'm scared about the escalation because you've got China basically saying, we'll retaliate against you if you retaliate against us. This is U.S. and China now coming to odds against each other, entering the Russian invasion fray. And of course, it was inevitable. The dominoes are falling over. The U.S. is currently operating war games in Estonia, firing Stinger missiles, warning Vladimir Putin that NATO will not allow them to invade any NATO territory. But Putin's getting what he wants. Russia is saying they want nothing but the absolute surrender of Ukraine. Hopefully, this is where it ends. Russia is likely going to get what they want out of Ukraine, no matter what the media tries to say. This is the problem I have with all the censorship. All of these stories that are coming out from corporate press and mainstream media narratives, they're claiming like Ukraine is winning. It's the silliest thing. Then Ukraine keeps capitulating to Russian demands and negotiations like, okay, how about neutrality? Okay, how about we do this? And Russia's like, no, surrender, no, surrender, no, surrender. And then we get media being like, Russia getting flattened, their convoy wiped out, 12,000 Russian troops. Ugh. Doesn't seem to be the case. We're being lied to about what's going on, obviously. Now, maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe Russia is doing worse than anyone anticipated. But it really does feel like Russia is getting what they want. They're slow, they're methodical, and they're winning. I saw a video of Russian troops being scolded by locals and leaving. I see video of Russians fleeing civilians, and it makes you wonder, maybe the Russians are not trying to hurt civilians in the West if they want to muster support for some kind of NATO invasion or armament of the Ukrainian people. They need you to support them to believe that Vladimir Putin is a comic book villain. I think Vladimir Putin is a bad guy. I think he's worse than Joe Biden. I don't like Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's crooked. I think Vladimir Putin is despotic. I think Xi Jinping is despotic. I think the Democrats as a whole are corrupt and crooked. We got a big group of bad people leading this world towards chaos, to put it simply. But I got to admit, you know, at least I can count on Joe Biden having interest in this country, right? He wants his house to still exist. He wants to be able to buy food. And therein lies the big challenge with war. A bunch of corrupt world leaders all fighting each other and lying to each other. And then you got to figure out which one's telling the truth. Good luck, man. Good luck. Well, let's get started by talking about what's happening with the U.S. threatening China. Now, of course, we've already seen CNBC highlighting that China is threatening retaliation. Before we get started, head over to timcast.com and become a member if you want to support our work. If you like these videos, being a member helps keep me employed. It keeps all of our journalists employed. And you'll get access to exclusive members-only segments of the Timcast IRL podcast available at timcast.com. We're eternally grateful for your support, but don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the video with your friends. Let's talk about where things may be going outside of Russia. The New York Times says Chinese companies that aid Russia could face U.S. repercussions, Commerce Secretary warns. Gina Raimondo, the Secretary of Commerce, issued a stern warning Tuesday to Chinese companies that might defy U.S. restrictions against exporting to Russia, saying the U.S. would cut them off from American equipment and software they need to make their own products. The Biden administration could essentially shut down semiconductor manufacturing, international corporation, or any Chinese companies that defy U.S. sanctions by continuing to supply chips and other advanced technology to Russia, Ms. Raimondo said in an interview with the New York Times. The U.S., the European Union, and other governments have issued sweeping sanctions and export controls in response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The export controls prohibit the sale of certain high-tech products, including advanced semiconductors, to Russia and Belarus. The U.S., export controls apply not just to American companies, but to companies anywhere in the world that use American software or technology to manufacture their products, which include many Chinese companies. China and Russia have strengthened their trade ties in recent years, and the Chinese government has expressed some solidarity with the Russian government despite the invasion. But China does not have the ability to make the world's most advanced semiconductors, Ms. Raimondo said. And Chinese companies that continue to supply Russia could face harsh penalties. But do you know who has that capacity? Why? It's Taiwan. Could it be that this is one of the big reasons China wants to take back Taiwan? Of course, China considers Taiwan to be their territory. Taiwan considers themselves to be independent, the true government of China. And China just says, stay out of it. Taiwan belongs to us. If China invades Taiwan and seizes control and redirects the semiconductor chips to their country, to their mainland, and then through their distribution, it would be very, very detrimental to the West and particularly the United States, which is why Joe Biden, during the State of the Union address, said we're heavily investing in semiconductor chip production. They have their own self-interest to not supply this stuff to Russia, so they're not going to do it out of the goodness of their heart. It would be devastating to China's ability to produce these chips, Mr. Armando said. The new export controls, which were issued in coordination with the EU, Australia, Japan, South Korea, and other allies, are designed to stem the flow of advanced technologies to Russia to degrade the Russian military. So let me just point this out. All right. How are we not at war with Russia? This is an honest question, not based on legality, law, declaration. No. What is war? War, two factions fighting over control? I mean, how do you want to describe it? Do you describe war as having to be hot, having to be beyond just a cold war? If the U.S. is going to China and telling them you cannot give weapons to computer chips to Russia because we're trying to hurt their military, what's the difference between that and shooting one of their tanks? I mean, honest question. Shooting someone's tank, you know, blowing it up, destroys it. Going to their supply lines and disrupting their supply lines also inhibits Russia from engaging in military activity. How is that not the U.S. exerting influence in a way to harm the Russian military? I think it's games. It's all political games. Most of what is being said is to make sure that you, the regular people, are in total support of whatever it is your faction is doing. The U.S. knows that if too many people in the U.S. oppose the war effort, they're going to back away. And they're not going to support what the U.S. is doing and eventually stop them. If the U.S. were to engage in a hot war and people were dying, the people in the U.S. would probably revolt and say no. Behind the scenes, the U.S. can exert its authority at the federal level to actively engage in hostilities against Russia and arguably China, and regular people don't pay attention and don't know what's going on. You know, what we're hearing from all of this, with this conflict. We have in the CNBC article, China's pro-Russia move, it says, accuses U.S. of dangerous biolabs in Ukraine. And this is one of the biggest challenges we have. First, they said there were no biolabs in Ukraine. Then they said there are no U.S. biolabs in Ukraine. Aha, qualifier. There are U.S. biolabs in Ukraine. And they said, no. What we mean is Russia is not attacking U.S. biolabs.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Now they're coming out and saying outright, Victoria Nuland, they're concerned Russia will gain access or seize Ukrainian biolabs. Okay, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. The U.S. government doesn't want me to know what's happening, the same as Russia or China do not want me to know what's happening. They don't want you to know what's happening. Now, of course, you and I are tethered to the U.S. interest in this regard. I don't know if I care, to be completely honest. I see the U.S. government, the Biden administration, as this corrupt entity that's seeking to gain power. Now, of course, if they win, there's probably some benefits to me. And if they lose, there's some detriments to me. So I get it. But why should I give my support to the U.S. government for their incursions in foreign countries? I honestly have no idea. It's never been justified to me. And in fact, when information comes out from other sources, it's censored by these Western powers. So I'm not here to play any of these stupid games. They want to come out and they want to say that there's a video going viral and it's like Russian convoy gets flattened trying to go into Kiev. If Russia was losing, then why would they be the ones exerting pressure on Ukraine and Ukraine trying to make concessions? Fox News reports. Thursday's high-level talks in Turkey between Ukrainian and Russian foreign affairs counterparts ended in no progress for potential ceasefire or for protecting civilians in the heavily bombarded Mariupol, even after Ukraine suggested a neutrality proposal with security guarantees from world powers. In the most senior interaction since Russian President Vladimir Putin launched the invasion of Ukraine on February 24th, the failed talks between Ukraine Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba and his counterpart, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, lasted just 90 minutes in the Turkish coastal city of Antalya. Antalya is beautiful. I've actually been there. Russia reportedly rejected Ukraine's neutrality proposals that promised international security guarantees, according to the Financial Times. The two sides discussed a 24-hour ceasefire but did not make any progress, as Russia was still seeking surrender from Ukraine. This is not what they're going to get, he said, adding that he was willing to continue dialogue. after Russians bombed a maternity and children's hospital in the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol. The day before, Lavrov rejected what he categorized as the shouting over the so-called atrocities, repeating Russian claims without evidence that the hospital was captured by Ukrainian far-right ultra-radicals. I am sick of the U.S. corporate press. I don't care if it's Fox News. I don't care if it's MSNBC. When they do things like this, I tell you what triggers me. Without evidence, without evidence, without evidence. Shut your mouths, you pathetic, disgusting liars. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Your manipulation tactics piss me off, and I'm done playing these games. For all I know at this point, Russia's right. There's U.S. bio labs in Ukraine, and they're making smallpox. Heck if I know, all you do in the media is lie every step of the way. Russian claims without evidence. Russian claims without evidence. Donald Trump's claims without evidence. Shut up. Half the things put out by the U.S. press is without evidence. They assert it, they claim it, they never back it up. Just earlier today, I was commenting on the gas prices, trying to break down reasonably and logically why gas prices are going up, and there's a variety of issues at play. Notably, yes, Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But what bothers me is how the New York Times comes out with an op-ed, an opinion piece, my opinion on why gas is going up as a fact. And that is not evidence. So you want to slap me in the face with your trash that says without evidence, and I'm going to say, shove it. I don't want to hear it. You can tell me what's going on. You can give me quotes. I can choose for myself whether to believe the Russians or the Ukrainians. But you want to come out and say, without evidence. And I'm immediately going to say, you lied. You're lying. You are lying. I'm sick of it. It has been years of this. And the crackpot trash in U.S. media, I don't care if it comes from Fox News or CNN, still play the stupid game of qualifiers that have nothing to do. When you say that Russia claimed it, you are already saying it is an assertion by a single party. You don't need to inject this garbage. So how are we supposed to know what's going on in the world? You think I'm going to trust Joe Biden or Jen Psaki? Let me pull up this from Daily Mail. Jen Psaki calls Florida "Don't Say Gay" bill horrific, a form of bullying and discrimination against kids. I'm so done. I am so over this. These people have no respect for you. They have no respect for me. They have no respect for the American people. They have no respect whatsoever. They treat us like cattle, like chickens, marching around like morons, expecting us to lay down our lives, the lives of our children, our tax dollars, our labor, so they can spit in our faces. There is no such thing as a "Don't Say Gay" bill. The bill in Florida has nothing to do with this. You might as well call the bill the "Don't Say Straight" bill, because the bill equally prohibits discussions about heteronormative relationships as it would any other relationship, because it's basically just saying, hey, no sex ed for third graders or for preschoolers. Fourth grade, you're good. The bill is basically just about making sure parents are informed. The bill's this. It's this simple. Parents must be informed about what their kids are being taught, and no sex ed for preschool through third grade. Jen Psaki of the White House comes out and says all of the lies. She backs up all the lies. Okay, Jen, you're a scumbag. You're a liar. You're a piece of trash. And I'm going to go ahead and assume everything you say is a lie. You lie. You're a liar, period. You want to come out and talk about Russia? Don't know. Don't care. You're a liar. You have zero credibility. So does Joe Biden. So does everybody else. Don't get me wrong. You think I'm going to give a lot of credibility to Donald Trump? That ain't true either. Republicans, that ain't true either. I think the Republicans are complete trash. You got a small handful of Republicans that I think are doing okay. You got some Republicans that just want to save face because they've made mistakes in the past and they're trying. For the most part, we are led by morons and psychopaths. You know, here's the issue I have. You want to come out, Jen Psaki? You want to come out, you know, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden? Why don't you be honest? Why don't you be honest? Ladies and gentlemen, here's how I'd do it. We have very serious issues with the conflict in Ukraine. The U.S., of course, has military interests with Ukraine, and Russia is also equally concerned about this territory. There are two NATO countries on the border with Russia. Russia is not happy about that. It's Estonia and Latvia. The U.S. is seeking to bring Ukraine into the fold so we can expand our sphere of influence. The goal is that the more countries we have working within our sphere of influence, the less likely there is for there to be war, and the more likely there is to be better trade and higher quality of life. At least that's what we believe. Russia opposes this because Vladimir Putin wants to restore to what he sees as a bit more of the Russian Empire. He wants that great strength back. He doesn't want to be bullied. Now, truth be told, the United States has played dirty games with trying to offset Russia's monopoly. There is a conflict here that's been budding for some time. In fact, the conflict's been existent since the fall of the Soviet Union. Just be honest. You know, I get it, man. The powers that be, they think you're morons. And they don't want to tell you. The other issue is they know that we all have conflicting interests. Some people in this country, in the United States, work in oil. Some people work in solar. Some people work in environment. And our interests may not align. If they were to come out and tell you the truth, they'd lose votes. If they were to come out and tell you the truth, it would just sow division between the people saying, you know, yes, no, yes, no. So they lie. Jen Psaki coming out and pushing lies about don't say gay. If you're going to lie about something as irreverent, nonsensical as this bill, why would I trust you when it comes to something serious like war? From the Daily Mail, we will defend every inch of NATO. Kamala issues warning to Putin from Poland, and U.S. troops fire Stinger missiles in war games in Estonia alongside 13,000 troops from 13 countries. Amid fears, Eastern Europe could be Russia's next target. You know, last week, it was reported that there was a Minuteman III ICBM test. Biden was canceling it. He was canceling it because he wanted to de-escalate tensions. Now, I don't know if canceling a missile test de-escalates anything, but I said, I appreciate the sentiment, right? They're trying something. They don't want to do this missile test. Russia might get pissed off about it. Okay, let's simmer things down. What is this? 13,000 troops in 13 countries in Eastern Europe, in Estonia? What are you doing with all those troops? You see, when Vladimir Putin starts putting troops on Ukraine's Eastern Front, the Western border of Russia, the U.S. says they must be getting prepared to invade. When NATO forces, 13,000 troops, are in Estonia for war games, it's just war games, we're just practicing. Or is Russia going to say the U.S. is preparing for war? I'm just over it. I'm over the lies, I'm over the manipulations. That's all it is, lies, lies, and manipulations. And now we can see the censorship. From the Wrap, YouTube cuts off revenue for RT and other Russian channels, restricts access in Ukraine. Something happened to my channel last week. I uploaded my video. I usually upload it around 3 p.m., record around 2:30, upload around 3, publish at 4. I uploaded my video to YouTube, and it said it was processing. It froze for nearly 3 hours. The video ended up going up 2 hours late. The next day, when I tried uploading on my other channel, Timcast News, they locked for about a half an hour. And it was only when I tweeted at Team YouTube and said, what's going on, that all of a sudden they turned on. I'm wondering if someone at YouTube is monitoring my content because I'm not falling in line behind Western narratives. Of course, I'm not going as far as, say, Tucker Carlson or anything like that. So I think they tolerate what I have to say. I think they view my channel as a pressure release valve, that if you get someone like Tucker who actually says U.S. Biolabs, I'm not going to assert that without evidence. If they ban content like that, they can maintain the user base coming to my channel, but it's only a matter of time before they delete my channel as well or find some excuse to get rid of it. They've cut off revenue for RT and other Russian channels, restricting access in Ukraine. Why? Why? If Russia is lying, counter their lies and explain your point. The reality is, Russia probably isn't lying so much as they have their own perspective. China called the U.S. an empire of lies. Russia is demanding questions on biolabs in Ukraine that have U.S. involvement. The U.S. perspective is these are just, you know, consumer goods labs. The U.S. helped upgrade and build two food safety and consumer BSL-2 labs. It's biosafety level 2. But Ukraine does have a bunch of other labs that are not within cooperation of the U.S. The U.S. says Russia is pushing disinformation about the biothreat reduction program the U.S. has been involved in. Who do you believe? I'd like to believe the U.S. because I like this country. I think America is the best. I'd like to believe it, but Jen Psaki and Joe Biden and the bureaucratic state are all just liars. The individuals, January 6th, people like Adam Schiff and James Clapper, they just lie about everything. So I can't believe them. When they shut down and censor content, I can only assume it's because they're lying about everything. Kevin Rothrock, verified Twitter user, and it says, wrong and personal views, awful jokes from the serious Medusa EN editor. Medusa, I believe, is an outlet, the Russia guy. He says, Google has now suspended monetization on YouTube for all users in Russia. Applies to other services as well. That's a whole creator industry up in smoke. No way these guys can make up that revenue on Vkontakte and the like, however you pronounce it. So they're censoring more channels. We have this story. Twitter launches new version for Russians to bypass the country's restrictions. Here's the game. The West engages in influence warfare. We can run our social media in your country, but even our own citizens aren't too allowed to speak. So let me read this for you. Let's play. The Russian government has restricted the use of Twitter and blocked Facebook entirely. The new version is available on Tor, often referred to as the dark web, and uses an onion service instead of the .com web address. Regular websites, including Twitter.com, are also accessible on Tor, but the onion versions are made specifically for Tor and prevent the site from being spoofed by malicious actors. Software engineer Alec Muffet announced the new service on his Twitter account, saying, "It is possibly the most important and long-awaited tweet I've ever composed." This is possibly, so that's what he said. He said, I'm delighted to have assisted Twitter engineers in their adoption of Onion services and Onion networking from the Tor project, providing greater privacy, integrity, trust, and unblockability for all people around the world. Twitter.com supported browsers. Well, this is good. I'm curious then, will this Onion version of Twitter use its rules to ban people? You see, there's the issue. In the West, we will block and shut down information that we say is it's disinformation, it's Russian lies. But we'll make sure that our information hits them. You see how the game is played? It's one big joke. It's one big joke. That's how the game is played. And now we have this, Gabriel Weinberg. He is the CEO and founder of DuckDuckGo. He said, "Like so many others, I am sickened by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the gigantic humanitarian crisis it continues to create. At DuckDuckGo, we've been rolling out search updates that downrank sites with Russian disinformation. In addition to downranking sites associated with disinformation, we also often place news modules and information boxes at the top of DuckDuckGo search results. DuckDuckGo's mission is to make simple privacy protection accessible to all. Privacy is a human right and transcends politics, which is why about 100 million people around the world use DuckDuckGo. We don't have an exact count since we don't track people." That is not DuckDuckGo's value proposition. DuckDuckGo was used because you would be able to search for whatever you wanted without impedance. In this tweet from April of 2019, DuckDuckGo said, quote, "When you search, you expect unbiased results. But that's not what you get on Google. You can revoke Google's access to search and location histories, but the only true way to protect yourself is to leave Google." I use DuckDuckGo periodically. So we'll be on YouTube. We'll be streaming live at Timcast IRL. We'll do a search for a news story and it won't come up. And then you'll hear people say, "Use DuckDuckGo," and we will, and boom, there it is. Now DuckDuckGo is announced. Their CEO says they're going to be censoring information the same as Google is. The same as Google is. I don't want to live in that world. But you got to understand, this is the world that we've always lived in, right? Before the advent of social media, the news networks just did as they were told. Someone posted on Timcast IRL in the chat that Jordan Peterson insists you watch Attack on Titan. I don't know if Jordan Peterson ever actually insisted you watch Attack on Titan. It's an anime. But I decided to watch it anyway because I know it's very popular. And I think the show's fantastic. I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler. In the second season, there's a government conspiracy. Powerful interests are concerned about protecting their assets and resources and land, and so they're willing to sacrifice people to get it. There's a scene where one of the local journalists, the older journalist, has a younger journalist with him. And when they learn of a devastating fact, the younger journalist is shocked and says, "You mean to tell me X, Y, and Z?" And he's trying to write it down. And the older guy says, no, shut up. Don't write that down. Sorry, sir. He doesn't know how this works. That's right. The reality is, People in power don't want secrets about them getting out. So bad things throughout history have happened to people who seek to challenge these institutions. Right now, Julian Assange is rotting away, his life having been stolen from him for no reason. No real reason. None. The only reason is that he dared expose the powers that be. And Julian Assange is, there's a lot to criticize the man for. Let's be completely honest. Absolutely. But Julian Assange is a tremendous and great man because he knew what he was doing. Exposing the truth, releasing information. I love the meme where it's Julian Assange and it says, I publish information from corporations for free and I'm called the villain. And then Mark Zuckerberg, and he says, I take your data and secretly sell it to major corporations for a fee and I'm the good guy, or I'm free, I'm the rich guy. Think about how the world works. Julian Assange sought to inform you, releasing emails from powerful elites, exposing who they are and what they do behind closed doors. They've locked him up for over a decade. Now, when the bunk charges, claims of assault or abuse in Sweden finally evaporate, because it was all fake, what do they do now? Now they say, oh, espionage or something. We're gonna arrest him and then extradite him. It's insane that this is the world we live in, but this is the reality because evil people have control. This is it. Evil people have taken the reins. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and all that is required for evil to succeed is that good men do nothing. Good people. Let's be a little bit more PC these days. Good people doing nothing. Because you know what? Women absolutely could stand up alongside men, and we could all challenge these systems. But one of the other issues is the tact and the ignorance. Sociopaths. You know, these people who work in government who are cold and manipulative, they've planned out stuff to a certain degree. They want to be rich. They want to be famous. They want people to like them. They want to put their name in the history books, and nothing else matters. And that's sad. It's sad for you and I, and it's sad for humanity. I grew up watching Star Trek The Next Generation. Big fan. One of my favorite shows. One of the best shows ever made. The philosophical consequences of technological innovation, the philosophical consequences of alternate societal development. What an excellent show. In that show, there's such an opportunity for intelligence, peace, classical liberalism. Instead, what do we get? The liars, the cheaters, and the stealers are the ones who have won. Maybe what we need is a post-scarcity civilization. Maybe then things could change, but I don't know if it's possible. Deep within the human psyche is this drive for certain things. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We demand to be respected. We want things because we're a product of our evolution. Those who are willing to fight for survival and demand respect were more likely to survive. And now it's ingrained within us that even if we are to accomplish replicators in a post-scarcity society, we're still going to want to be influential. We still want followers. It is inherent within us. Man, I despise all of it. I despise the whole system, and I don't know, man. Truth be told, when I was younger, it was frustrating to me that I would work so hard and receive no recognition. And I wondered, how is it? How do you get to that point? You know, I play music. I write songs. Some of my songs are better than a lot of the songs other people are writing, but you just can't find that door. That was when I was a lot younger. And as I get older, you start to realize things change, and it's just like, so what? I had an interesting conversation with someone. I was on a rooftop in Illinois talking to a politician, and he said, my advice to you, man, is make money and stay in the shadows. Don't be involved. Don't stick your neck out. It's competing interests all the way down. And I just thought that was stupid. I was like, I don't know. You've got to inspire people to make the world a better place, right? Because that would just be defeatism. When I was younger, it was so difficult to in any way get access because the only thing people respond to is power. And that's the reality of the world. The left seems to understand much better than the right. But I think what the right has is principle and the left doesn't. I say that generally, the left and the right. What I mean by that is the right understands that power is something to be wielded, right? But they also believe that there exists something outside of all of us and that people are deserving of some kind of equal access to these rights. The left has long abandoned the idea of equal rights. When they say equity, they're talking about exertion of power over someone to adjust, steal, or remove their power outright. The left has done a good job of recognizing that power is everything. the other night on Timcast IRL, Ryan Long, the comedian, was making a point about, it was like kind of doing a joke, but it was serious, it was a true story about Blink Fitness and how they were pushing him around and took his money from him. And we made the joke that here on this big show, Timcast IRL, with, you know, a million listeners per episode, that he can say this and it will have immediate impact, that the company will instantly hit him up and apologize because the only thing they acknowledge is power. And that's the sad reality of the world we live in. Power is everything. The more influence you wield, the more people will do as you say because that's all they care about. It's a scary thought, to be completely honest. I view myself as left libertarian in terms of ideology. And left libertarian ultimately means that, you know, for someone like Ron Paul, I respect him. If Ron Paul and I argued about certain issues, I know that at the end of the argument, his simple answer is, I'm going to leave you alone to do your thing. And I'm like, I can respect that, right? But when I look at more of a left libertarian worldview, it's more cooperative. And we have, maybe it's just idealistic, that I'd like to live in a society where we all recognize that we have rights. And those rights are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we also need to learn how to live and work together. And I'm not a big fan of like outright laissez-faire capitalism. The problem is the people who purport to be on the left today have embodied fascism in the sense, the fascistic ideology of there is no truth but power. Power is real. Power can be wielded. Power can get you what you want. But power is not truth. In fact, oftentimes power suppresses truth. I'm a fan of truth. And I believe the truth will set you free, which is why I'm so just frustrated with the constant manipulations, the fake news, the lies, which is why it's so disheartening sometimes to see that those who lie the most get all of the rewards. How do you rectify that? I honestly don't know, but I'll leave it there. Hopefully the truth does set us free. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimcastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Inflation, 7.9%. The fastest rate since 1982. And my friends, every single month when the new numbers come out, it's going to say the exact same thing. Fastest rate since 1982. Because in the 1980s, the inflation rate hit, I think it was around like 14%. Now, by using today's calculations, we're likely never going to hit those numbers. If we use calculations from the 80s, as I've often said, we would be well over the 1980s numbers. Everybody wants to lie to you. It's really frustrating, man. I wake up and I see all these stories. I see what the White House is putting out, and it's just everybody is lying about basically everything, or they're trying to justify why their opinions are actually fact. Now, for that, I mostly blame news outlets because they're the ones that are like, fact check. My opinion is better than your opinion. And I'm like, ugh, whatever, man. I'll tell you what, though. First and foremost, allergies. Yo, my allergies are so bad, it feels like the flu. No joke. So I'm zonked out. But I wake up in the morning, and as soon as I wake up, I pull up my phone and I'm scrolling through and I'm reading news. I'm seeing what messages I've gotten and stuff like that. So just read news 24/7, basically. And I see all this news about inflation. So we talked about this yesterday with Ryan Long and Danny Polishchuk. It was kind of funny if you miss it on Timcast IRL, where I'm basically like, I don't know what to buy. I bought some swords. The swords aren't even that expensive. I did get some expensive swords, mind you, but I got a bunch of like cheap, you know, I don't know, swords. And it's, you know, we could use them. We have a lot of brush to clear. So I was just like, you know, I'll get some machetes and some swords. It'll be funny. And I got a Wakizashi blade. Wow. I put it behind me. The reason I'm telling you the story is that when I see that inflation is this high, I'll put it this way. If you did not get an 8% raise in the past year, then you are losing buying power. Now, for regular working people, that's nightmarish. So you're getting a paycheck, and as soon as you get it, you got to figure out how to convert that into something. The challenge for most people is you typically have to convert it into bills, to energy, or to rent, food, or medical costs. For people who are making substantial amounts of money, for people who have disposable income, when your paycheck comes in, you buy swords with it? You know, and that's the point. When CNN comes out and says inflation is actually really bad for rich people and it's good for poor people, they're lying. They're outright lying to you. And that's what really grinds my gears. The country is in shambles. It's not the apocalypse. I got to be honest. You can go to the supermarket and you can pick up a cheeseburger. I mean, we still have luxury in this country, but it is getting worse. Now, what's fascinating here is how everybody lies about it, or at least is wrong about it. I can say this to the politicians, to the Republicans and the Democrats. Many of them are perhaps lying outright about the cause of inflation and gas prices and you know, your economic strife. Many of them are just wrong because they only read certain news sources and they don't track data. I have no problem saying, you know, somebody who's trying to be right and getting it wrong is, you know, I can respect their attempts at believing what they believe and trying to do the right thing. Noble. But if you're wrong, causing problems. I mean, here's the big news. Inflation is at 7.9%. But what else do we have? Well, the White House put out this video with Jen Psaki. She said, you may have noticed this week that your gas prices have gone up. A lot of this has to do with Vladimir Putin. No, it doesn't. I mean, well, let me put it this way. A lot of it? Okay, I'd say some of it has to do with Vladimir Putin. And that's the issue. The only way to protect the U.S. over the long term is to become energy independent. I do agree with that completely. Let me play a little bit of this soundbite for you. And again, this, and I'm going to show you what Republicans are saying, and I'll show you what the New York Times is saying and how they're trying to lie and manipulate.
I've noticed this week that your gas prices have gone up. I want to talk to you a little bit about why. A lot of it has to do with Vladimir Putin.
Why? They're calling it Putin's gas price hike. Now, here's what you got to watch out for. Vladimir Putin invades Ukraine. That will have an impact on gas prices, especially in Europe. And with the constraint and the problems we're seeing there, Europe will affect the U.S. and, you know, it's all tied together. Vladimir Putin, or I should say Russia, they do produce a large amount of oil and we do import it. But why is it Putin's price hike when gas prices were already going up? The New York Times, in trying to criticize Republicans, ignores that the White House is calling this Putin's gas price hike. I am sick of the lies. Let me play this message from Jen Psaki so you can hear and we can criticize it.
The reality is that Russia is one of the three largest oil producers in the world. And the fact that they have started this conflict, invaded a foreign country, and they are such a big producer of oil in the world is the reason why the global oil markets are disturbed right now and why your gas prices are going up.
Lie. Vladimir Putin's invasion does play a role in how gas prices do go up. And I'm not here to play any agendas for Democrat or Republican. I'm here to tell you the truth. The truth is there are a lot of factors that play into gas prices. Many of them are unseen. Now, this one is very obvious. It will play a role in this. But she says it is the reason your gas prices are going up. That is not true. Okay. This is the Democrat White House trying to deflect blame for direct actions taken by the Joe Biden administration that have resulted in gas prices going up. Their allies, the New York Times, try to deflect this point as well. I do think it is fair to say we will see a massive spike in gas prices because of the invasion in Ukraine, regardless of whether or not Joe Biden banned oil imports. That, I believe, is true. Joe Biden banning energy imports from Russia will drive those prices up even further, but they've only just done that. So we will not see the direct impact of that for maybe a week or two, actually maybe a month. It takes around a month, my understanding is about a month, to ship oil on these tankers to other parts of the country, to other parts of the world, in which case we're not going to see the price increases, direct price increases, for some time. There will be speculative price increases. We'll get to that in a second, but let me play more from Jen Psaki.
The president's going to do everything he can to bring down the price of gas for the American people. But there are a few facts you should be aware of.
That's a lie about the president doing everything he can to bring down the price of gas. And I'll show you why. Joe Biden has actually shut down oil and gas leases over a climate cost battle in the U.S. He's banned fracking on public lands. He's shut down Keystone XL. Now, Keystone XL was not delivering oil right now, but it does impact speculative costs. It does perpetuate speculative cost increases the same way Vladimir Putin's invasion would. So I'll explain that in a minute. Let's play more.
U.S. production of oil and gas is rising. In fact, in the first year of the Biden presidency, there was more oil and gas produced in the United States than the first year of the Trump presidency.
The first year of the Trump presidency. You see, under the Trump presidency, Donald Trump removed a bunch of environmental restrictions and created incentives to get oil companies to start producing again. So, of course, in the first year of Joe Biden's presidency, there would be more gas produced. Easy enough.
And there's opportunities to produce more from here. But part of this is on the oil companies.
That's true.
Right now, there are 9,000 approved unused permits that oil and gas companies could tap into now to ramp up production.
I don't know about that one. That gets into the nuance of politics around these companies. And I've seen this disputed. But the fact remains, we can and should be ramping up production. However, if you're talking about 9,000 unused, you know, gas and oil permits or whatever, what you got to understand is some areas might have a permit for gas exploration or drilling, and the companies know there's no point in going there. So this is this point brought up by Jen Psaki, I think, is just it's too vague. It's too vague. You say we've got 9,000 permits. Is one of those permits for like barren land? There's a lot of swaths of land where oil companies will take a look at satellite imagery or geological features and try and figure out if there's oil in the area. They might have a permit to work there, but they might say it's pointless or it's not cost effective. Drilling here would cost us more money than we'd make, things like that. I'm not saying that's definitively why they're not doing it. I'm saying this point is too vague and does not lend anything to her argument. And it's honestly kind of hard to argue against because it's, again, too vague.
So what the president is doing is ensuring we're taking steps here to get more oil out into the global marketplace.
Global marketplace? Shouldn't, if you're talking about energy independence, Psaki, shouldn't we be producing oil for ourselves? Look at this.
40 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve back in the fall. And he just announced their planned release of an additional 30 million barrels.
You see, this is a very, very serious manipulation. 30 million barrels sounds like a lot to someone who doesn't know much about what's happening. And they say, oh, okay, 30 million barrels. Wow, that's going to help. That's like a couple days. It's a couple days of oil consumption. Yeah, we're addicted to oil. Yes, I'm a big fan of renewable energies. I think we got to get geothermal. I'm a big fan of exploring tidal energy. Don't know what, you know, what we're doing with tidal energy, maybe not doing anything. The tidal energy is cool. You build turbines on the beachfront. And what happens is as the tide comes in, the water rushes through, rising up, spinning turbines. It's amazing. In fact, you could even capture wave energy. I don't think it's very efficient, but the goal is just to get a turbine spinning to generate power. You could use tidal energy. It's fantastic. There's also, I think wind is great. Solar is great. The issue is, are these energy systems, are they going to be working year-round all the time? Well, tidal has problems in winter, solar when it's cloudy or at night, wind when there's no wind. You get the point. Let's listen to more.
The only way to protect the United States over the long term is to become energy independent.
This is correct.
That's why the president has been so focused on investing in clean energy technologies so that we can rely on that and not President Putin to set the price of gas.
You see, that's a big trick they're trying to do. Oh, it's Putin is setting the price of gas. Putin is not setting the price of gas, my friends. So here's an article from the New York Times, which is an opinion piece masquerading as a fact check. It says Republicans wrongly blame Biden for rising gas prices. They have pointed to the Biden administration's policies on the Keystone XL pipeline and certain oil and gas leases, which have had little impact on prices. That is a lie. Or I should say it's an opinion. The reason I'd call it a lie is because when they say little impact, it's an opinion statement. What does little mean? What are your metrics? Little impact. Are you talking about single digit percentage? Is 20% little impact to you considering the price of gas has doubled? Since 2020, the price of gas has almost tripled. So if you're talking about little impact, you could say, well, the things Joe Biden did cause a 32% increase, but that's small compared to, you know, other things. Or are you saying 7% increase? Either way, it does play a role in this. This is the New York Times opinion masquerading as fact. As gas prices hit a high this week, top Republican lawmakers took to the airwaves and floors of Congress with misleading claims that pinned the blame on President Biden and his energy policies. Mr. Biden warned that his ban on imports of Russian oil, gas, and coal announced Tuesday as a response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine would cause gas prices to rise further. High costs are expected to last as long as the confrontation does. Okay. I am going to shatter that narrative with a chart showing you gas prices. We'll play this game, New York Times. While Republican lawmakers supported the ban, they asserted that the pain at the pump long preceded the war in Ukraine. Gas price hikes, they said, were the result of Mr. Biden's cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline, the temporary halt of new drilling leases on public lands, and surrendering our energy independence. All incorrect assertions. That's an opinion statement from them, an opinion statement from you. This is what I can't stand. New York Times, Linda Q. You are no better suited to assert your opinion on what is happening to gas prices than any of these Republican politicians. New York Times is so stupid. Ugh. They then go on to quote, many of these Republicans, some of whom it's Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. Not a fan of these guys. Absolutely. Mike Pence, all of these guys, I am no fan of, you know. The claims are misleading. The primary reason for rising gas prices over the past year is the coronavirus pandemic and its disruptions to global supply and demand. Oh, you want to play a dangerous game, New York Times, with your stupid opinions on what's happening. COVID changed the game, not President Biden, said Patrick Dahan, the head of petroleum analysis for Gas Buddy, which tracks gasoline prices. U.S. oil production fell in the last 8 months of the President Trump's tenure. Is that his fault? No. The pandemic brought us to our knees, Mr. Dahan added. In the early months of 2020, when the virus took hold, demand for oil dried up and prices plummeted, with the benchmark price for crude oil in the United States falling to negative 37.63 that April. In response, producers in the United States and around the world began decreasing output. Okay. Yeah, I know I'm talking really fast, but I want to get through this and talk more about the important issues. What the New York Times has done is they've said that the opinions of Republicans are wrong, but the opinions of this one guy for this one website are right. You see how stupid this game is that they're playing? Yes, it is true. Oil prices went negative. Isn't that crazy? They had so much oil, they couldn't store it, and they were just like, we will pay you to take it. But hold on there a minute. If they had so much oil, they reduced production. Wouldn't that still mean that they were normalizing output? If you have too much oil, so you reduce output, you still have that oil. And then as that oil starts getting taken, you start increasing output. This makes no sense. So it is true that energy prices dropped negative. It was crazy. The U.S. began exporting oil. Let me read more. As pandemic restrictions loosened worldwide and economies recovered, demand outpaced supply. That was mostly attributable to the decision by OPEC Plus, an alliance of oil-producing countries that controls about half the world's supply, to limit increases in production. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has only compounded the issues. When you throw a war on top of this, this is possibly the worst escalation you can have of this, said Abhiram Rajendran, the head of oil market research at the Energy Intelligence and Energy Information Company. You're literally pouring gasoline on general inflationary pressure. Okay. The opinions of these individuals who work in the oil industry, while I do believe probably hold more weight than Republicans, are still just that, someone giving an opinion. When the New York Times claims that some guys who have opinions are fact checks, they are manipulating you. I could easily take any other energy expert. We have Daniel Turner on Timcast IRL rather frequently from Power the Future. It's an organization that he runs. He is an expert on energy. Some disagree and say he's not. Why? Because, well, it's politics. And he's talked a lot about all of these energy issues, imports, and very much, I believe he would say, well, Biden takes a lot of responsibility for this. Why not cite him, New York Times? It's interesting, isn't it? Let me show you this. This is the U.S. retail gas price. This is going back 5 years, I have this chart. Now, we can see throughout the Trump administration in 2018, throughout 2017, we were looking at an average around $2.50, $2.50 per gallon. And then into 2018, it went up to it hit three and floated around 2.9. Beginning of 2019, gas fell to 2.30. And then throughout 2019, hit 2.9 to $2.90 and started to fall down to about $2.60. In 2020, with the coronavirus pandemic, April was brutal. We saw gas dropped to $1.87 a gallon. Now, a lot of people were celebrating this, gas under $2, but you got to understand this was the pandemic. The demand for gas was very low. People weren't driving. People were working remotely. And because of that, gas prices were negative, or oil per barrel was negative. Now, throughout that year, gas was sitting around $2, $2.20. As soon as Joe Biden gets in office, we start seeing in January, the price starts going up substantially. We then see by June of 21, it's over $3. We then see by November of 21, it's $3.48, hitting $3.50 by November. That is not Vladimir Putin. That is Joe Biden's policies. Not completely. Everything they're telling you, there's always, it's a part of the picture, but not the whole picture. When the New York Times says the Republicans are wrong, Joe Biden's policies don't play a role, minimal, and what's really happening is the war in Ukraine. Okay, well, let's jump to the one-month marker to get a better view of things. February 21st, we saw gas was at $3.62 per gallon, already up almost a dollar from when Donald Trump was in office. By February 28th, 2022, it was at $3.70. But hold on, wasn't there a big old invasion February 22nd? Well, the exact time and date, you want to talk about it, but sure. Hold on there a minute. Around the same time, we also got this story. Biden halts oil and gas leases amid legal fight on climate cost, directly affecting production. Now, here's my issue. I think it's fair to say the war plays an impact, plays a role. When Joe Biden shut down Keystone XL, we immediately saw a gas price increase. The reason was speculators. Keystone was not delivering oil. And one of the things the fact checkers try to do to trick you is say Keystone wasn't delivering oil, so shutting it down played no role in gas prices. And that's a lie. A lie. When Keystone got shut down, signals were sent to investors and to oil companies. We need this pipeline to transport more oil more efficiently. And without it, it stands to reason that demand will exceed supply, or at the very least, demand and supply will be crunched. That is to say, as more people want the gas, but it's harder to get, the price will go up. This led to speculators exploiting this and buying in. When Joe Biden announced a ban on fracking, the same thing happened. Speculators said, buy the energy now before it's too expensive later. And they did. And many of these people were saying things like, I'm going to buy it now and sell it later, make a lot of money, make a profit. The same could be said for Vladimir Putin. But around the same time as Joe Biden canceling these leases, we get the invasion in Ukraine. How is it then that they're claiming it is the invasion of Ukraine and not what's happening with these oil and gas leases? We've already seen gas prices increase when Joe Biden's policies impacted the market and potential futures. If that's the case, I think there's a fair point to be made that Joe Biden shutting down oil and gas leases over this climate change issue, because there's like a judge's ruling and stuff like that, then that would play a role in gas prices as well. The other question is, if they're going to argue that it's Vladimir Putin causing the price increase, we can see here by March 7th that the average price of gas hit $4.20. It's expected to go up. Joe Biden only just in the past day banned Russian oil imports. If the argument is that the invasion itself caused the spike in prices, why did we not see it in the immediate as soon as the war broke out? There's a lag factor. And if there is a lag factor, isn't it fair to say that we've already seen prices increase based on Joe Biden's banning of Keystone or otherwise? And even if it wasn't that much, we can actually say that when Joe Biden, when it was announced by the Associated Press that Biden is halting oil and gas leases amid a legal fight on climate cost, this played a big role. Let me tell you the reality here, my friends. It all plays a role. It all does. When the New York Times comes out and says it doesn't, they're lying. They both do. Can I quantify for you, using the data, which plays a bigger role? No. I can't tell you definitively. I've been watching the news on gas prices, and there is a correlation between shutting down pipelines and gas leases and prices. You'd have to be insane not to think that. That they're going to say, a simple math equation. We need 10, we use 10 barrels a day right now. We're going to need 15 barrels a day in the next 5 years. We're also shutting down production right now. So people just simply go, so you're not going to have the 15 barrels a day you need by in the next 5 years? Better buy up now because the price is going to skyrocket because demand is going up and supply is being constrained. It's simple, isn't it? The same principle applies to Vladimir Putin. When the war broke out, I believe absolutely that speculators saw this and said, better buy now. Because if Russia stops exporting oil, it's going to hit everybody. That's what we are seeing now with this price, a multifaceted price increase, which does involve Putin. Is it Putin's gas price hike? No. That's the White House trying to manipulate you because they bear some responsibility here. Is it only just, you know, Biden's actions? No, of course not. Of course, Vladimir Putin's playing a role. And we're seeing a sharp spike. Seriously, if you look at the chart over the past few months, around the time of February 28th, the price jumped substantially. So it is fair to say that we're seeing a massive price increase because of war. War will do that. Okay, fair point. You should understand this. Get mad at Putin's war or whatever. However, if the U.S. was energy independent from the get-go, this wouldn't be an issue. The reason the price of gas is going up is because we're scared that Russia will stop exporting oil or that we won't be able to get it. So speculators believe supply will outpace demand. If the U.S. pushed for energy independence a year ago, and apparently the White House knew this invasion was coming, if Joe Biden did not shut down these leases, if Joe Biden did not shut down Keystone, then confidence would have remained high. And it's possible the war would not have impacted the market as much in the United States. I'm not even getting into the hard data. I just want to point out inflation is through the roof, and it's been through the roof, and it has nothing to do with Vladimir Putin. Inflation is going to impact everything from gas prices to food. Wheat is through the roof. It is not just because Putin declared war. It's a scapegoat. They're trying to manipulate you so you don't blame them. Bad leadership. Putin is a bad guy hanging out with a bunch of bad dudes doing bad stuff. And Joe Biden is a loser. He's failed measurably. He doesn't bear all the blame for this stuff. Of course, that would be absurd. COVID happened. But I'm sick of the media lying. To put it simply, if at the start of Joe Biden's presidency, he announced we were going to drill, baby, drill. Maybe not like that. Maybe he said we are going to be ramping up energy production because of the threat of external pressures on gas prices and et cetera. The gas prices would not be at $4 a gallon. You can blame Putin in the immediate. I blame Joe Biden in the long run. He should have prepared for this. I'll tell you a story. When I was 14 years old, I was late to school once. I went to high school for only a few months. In those few months, I had to walk from my house, which was about maybe like 6 blocks from the local high school. One day when I was going to school, a train came, a freighter, and it took like a half an hour. And so I was late. I got to school and they said, "You're late. That's a Saturday detention or whatever." And I was like, "Saturday detention. You're not getting me coming on Saturday." But I had to like get some paperwork signed or something, I think. And I come home and I told my parents, and my dad said, "Why were you late?" And I said, "It's not my fault. There was a train." And he said, "Do you know the train tracks are there?" And I was like, "Yes." And he's like, "Do you know that trains sometimes come in the morning?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Then why didn't you prepare to be on the other side of those train tracks before the train came? It's your responsibility to know what variables could inhibit your task." And I was like, "That's a good point. I agree. I agree. If I'm supposed to be at a place at a certain time, I can't be like, I know there's trains. I know trains can make me late. I'm going to push it anyway, roll the die, and hope I'm not late." No, the fact is I should be like, I should leave a little bit early to make sure I don't get stopped by a train. And then I wouldn't have been late. Joe Biden can blame, the White House can blame Vladimir Putin all day and night. But if they knew about these potentialities, then it's their responsibility to navigate these outright. And if they can't do it, it's simple. "I feel bad. Sorry, Joe, you're trying your best. But your best is not good enough. You are the leader. You've screwed this up." You can point the finger at Putin, but you knew, they all knew, Putin wanted the eastern region in Ukraine. They knew we could not be dependent on Russian oil. What did they do to mitigate it? Nothing. Joe Biden shut down gas. So when they come out and they say he didn't play a role, they are lying. Again, nuance. Biden isn't making this war happen. The war is driving up prices. But Biden failed to prepare for this. They knew it was a risk. Biden actually hindered supply and production and drove speculation through the roof. So don't give me that BS. I'll leave it here. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Socialist YouTuber Vosh has been in the news for a couple different stories. The first, and one that matters the most in my opinion, is the argument with J.K. Rowling over International Women's Day. They got into a spat on Twitter. J.K. Rowling likened Vosh to an abusive ex-husband. Now, I'm not one to normally want to make segments on other commenters or commentators, but in this instance, it involves J.K. Rowling, so it's particularly culturally relevant. And I think what we're learning from this tweet between J.K. Rowling and Vosh is that there are very much big differences between men and women, even today. With all of the trans activists, more evidence emerges as society continues barreling forward, showing men and women very different, males and females very different. And I was seeing this tweet from Vosh where he basically said women should shut up. No, for real. He said, "Women, shut up, challenge," or something. And I thought to myself, Vosh is a male rights activist. You know, look, I have no issue with trans people at all. The left tries to claim I'm transphobic because I make points about biology. And that's the weirdest thing. Sorry, it's called science. And if you're not a fan of it, and I'm not talking about any kind of like nebulous. No, I'm talking about quite literally like biological sex. You want to make an argument about society and gender? That I totally get. That I understand. If social constructs are just things that we develop as a society, we can change them. And so if you want to say there's multiple genders or whatever, I really don't care. Now, if you want to talk about biological sex, now I've got questions. If you want to set parameters and rules, I've got questions. By all means, advocate for your system or whatever you want. I got no issue. I'm going to live my life, do my thing. I'm very libertarian in that respect. But if I have a question about the system you propose, you need to be able to answer it. So I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. You have Lia Thomas. This is an individual born male who wants to be a woman, which they say is societal. Being a woman, this is what the left says, being a woman is a social construct, and being male is biology. Okay, well, a lot of the leftists don't, because they don't differentiate between sex and gender, whatever. But for those that have actually set the parameters and claim this is what they're talking about, okay. So a male can compete on a women's team because woman is a social construct. All right, I'm with you right now. You then have that other individual in the same class, Isaac, I forgot the last name, who was born female, but identifies as a man and got top surgery. So this is actually a biological change of the individual, but the individual who identifies as a man is still competing against women. My question is why? If man and women are social constructs, shouldn't this trans man not be competing against women because those are two different social brackets? You see, these are the questions I have about the rules you seek to impose. Now, J.K. Rowling, for the longest time, has been tweeting out saying women are biologically female and thus should have their own safe spaces. Vosh, of course, is an advocate for males who want to express a different social identity. And I have no issue with that. Again, I'm going to stress that point. You can, if you want to walk around dressed like however you want, I got no problem, man. It doesn't affect me. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do my thing. It does affect me, though, when you say things like women be quieter and start apologizing challenge. Wow. When Vosh says that about all women, I mean, is he talking about trans women too? Here's ultimately what I want to get to. We'll read the story. We'll go through why this happened. And Vosh did respond. But I want to talk about the differences between men and women. Because even in this day and age, when you have women's rights, International Women's Day, the pussy hats and all that stuff, you can actually see in the news, women seem to be embracing the differences between men and women more so than they have in the past. Now, I really, really mean it. Despite people like Vosh and their seemingly fractured view on what it means to be a man or a woman, I don't know what he thinks a woman is. I don't think he has any principles. I think he's just saying things on the internet. I think he's saying it to try and get attention or something. Well, that's a little too reductive. I think he's saying things he thinks aligns with his audience. Obviously, they accuse me of doing the exact same thing. I don't think that's the case. Vosh would probably argue against what I've said about him, and he's more than welcome to. But I like to have things set in logical parameters. So let's talk about the difference between men and women. First, J.K. Rowling spars with Vosh. They say, on Tuesday, Rowling shared a tweet that some users found transphobic. That day, the UK's left-wing Labour Party Equality Shadow Minister Annalisa Dodds said on the BBC Women's Hour program that there were different definitions about what makes a woman. Dodds was speaking in a discussion about Scotland's gender recognition reform bill, which would make it easier for trans people to change their legal gender. Someone please send the Shadow Minister of Equalities a dictionary and a backbone. Happy International Women's Day, Rowling tweeted. Apparently, under a Labour government, today will become We Who Must Not Be Named Day, she added. In response, popular left-wing YouTube personality Ian Vosh Kaczynski slammed the writer Tuesday afternoon, saying, all J.K. Rowling had to do was shut the F up, and she could have been almost uncritically beloved for like a century. Women be quieter and start apologizing challenge. Almost exactly 24 hours later, Rowling replied, what you and your ilk fail to appreciate is how tediously familiar I find your tactics. I had a violent ex-husband who used to tell me life would be great if only I'd comply. But you're making the same mistake he did. Women like me can't be bullied out of resistance, she wrote. Resistance. Interesting. Vosh replied, saying, listen, Joanne, you don't get to play the victim card when you're the advocate for taking away women's rights here. Trans women are raped and killed in men's facilities, and you want to keep them there because of your trauma. Quit making your feelings other people's oppression. Now, there have been many stories about women being victimized by males. This is why I think Vosh is a male rights advocate. I don't think he's a trans right advocate because he told all women to be quieter, right? And that would include trans women. Perhaps, look, I'm trying to be as forthright as possible, okay? You can come to me and say Vosh only meant J.K. Rowling or whatever. I just don't understand that logic. Vosh is the one who is arguing that women means trans women or vice versa. That's interchangeable. If that's the case, Vosh is outright saying women and trans women, shut up. He's making a joke. I get he's being somewhat facetious. I understand all that. I'm trying to figure out what the rules are so we can work and live together. I would like people, I don't want trans women to be harmed in men's facilities. I think we need a solution to that. I mean, seriously, look at Blair White. Blair White is a trans woman, conservative. Now, imagine in some circumstance, Blair goes to jail. Are we going to put Blair, who presents as outrightly female, like you see Blair in the street and you think, you know, hey, that's a woman. We can't put Blair in a men's prison. I certainly don't think so. Now, some people think you can. But I think if you've got a problem with rape in prisons, which is disgusting, it's not as bad as the movies make it out to be, you know, because I've talked to people who've been in prison, but it is bad. Then you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to. But what do we do then? Do we create a transgender prison? Maybe, I don't know. And I don't think it makes sense to put biological males in with females because the initial reason for the separation in the first place was biology, not social construct. Ultimately, I don't know what Vosh is trying to get at by telling women to be quieter. I don't understand how you are the progressive left-leaning individual who is telling a woman that her trauma doesn't matter. That to me is a bit absurd. Complaining how victimized you are when you're a billionaire being mocked for opposing civil rights is the height of cyberbullying. Let's talk about civil rights. What are civil rights? Civil rights. Okay, so if you're a group, you want equal treatment under the law. Is it equal treatment under the law when you are given a special privilege or access? The answer is no. The left argues yes. I'm not citing anything specific in this. I'm speaking generally. If you are granted money or access to the libertarian meritocratic individuals, to the constitutional republic types, well, that is not equality. You should not be given things from other people. To the left, they feel that we have to directly balance the imbalance. That's the leftist view. So if you're someone who is marginalized or historically oppressed, we must take action to alleviate that. I certainly understand that argument. Now, there is a middle ground almost no one ever talks about. And that is, we recognize that there is inequality under the law. We change some of these laws, and then we move forward and try to heal. I think that's what the right has done in a lot of ways, accepted these laws. There was certainly resistance to some of these laws. Blockbusting and redlining used to be legal. Blockbusting is a crazy practice. You see, that's not civil rights, right? We need to say, under the law, you'll be treated equally. If that's the case, then we have some very serious questions to answer. And I think the right should have, you know, absolutely have this conversation with the left. Although I don't think it'll happen because the left is absolutist in their logicless morality. But the question is, if you have a trans woman that is, you know, let's say 10 years on hormone replacement therapy, someone who transitioned from 18, because let's say they are an adult, but they're now 28, 10 years on hormone replacement, and this individual looks and presents completely as biologically female, even though they were born biologically male. I don't think that person should go into a men's prison. They're going to have different muscle mass, different bone density. They're going to be likely victimized. But I don't think we should just take these people and put them into female prisons, because when you're dealing with logical systems, when we're trying to say within the law, what are the parameters by which we send a person to these prisons? What happens when you get someone who is 6'5", super ripped, 220 pounds of pure muscle, who says they're a woman? Okay, well, we don't want to put a person like that in with a bunch of 5'5", 120 pound biological females over the fear of violence. And look, these are people in prison. These are people who are typically in prison for hurting other people. We want to minimize that. If we want to make sure everyone is being kept safe, then maybe we don't put people who are massive in with people who are typically not. Now, there are challenges there and good arguments too. Let's say there's a guy who's 7'5", 280 pounds, pure muscle, massive dude. You put him in with regular guys in a regular prison and you know, he's going to be able to push people around. So ultimately, I say those are outliers. And we recognize that. And we just try to do our best to make sure we minimize harm to everyone, even the men in these prisons. How you do that, I don't know. But there are questions about how we handle trans people going to prison. I think it's a fair argument to have, and I think it's a discussion that needs to be had. Now, J.K. Rowling was basically making the argument that there should be spaces for females. Well, okay. I don't disagree. I think people have a right to say, like, I would like to be around people that experience life similar to me and things like that. And that means you end up with race-based caucuses. I'm not a fan I'm not a fan. What I'm saying is people can associate as they choose. The Klan exists. I don't like those people. I think they're pretty nasty people. I am inspired by Daryl Davis de-radicalizing these people. But you know what, man? I don't own your life. I don't own morality. I don't own the universe. I am not God. I am not a lord. I am not even any kind of demigod deity or special in any way where I can take away someone's rights to live as they see fit. In which case, if J.K. Rowling wants to be around a bunch of females, I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. If a group of black people want to create a black-only caucus, I'm like, I'm not a fan of it. If it's in a public institution, I have questions, and I will likely advocate against it. So if like a public school or if a government institution was trying to create a race-specific thing, I'd be like, no way. If a group of white people want to get together and talk about being white, I say, not a fan. Don't like it. Do whatever. Leave me out of it. If J.K. Rowling wants to do that with women, I'm like, I don't care, man, whatever. Now, there are questions as it pertains to public institutions. But let's talk about the difference between men and women. Let me talk to you. We have this story from the New York Post. Cop turned OnlyFans star makes $2 million a year, fears men only want her money, from March 1st. This is not the only story about a cop, a female cop who quit and became a porn star. Look, I got to be honest. You're doing OnlyFans. This is what you're doing. You want to call it soft core. You want to call it erotica, whatever. Fine. It is adult services. It is adult entertainment. A former cop who makes millions of dollars on OnlyFans has revealed she has never been on a date and is scared of gold diggers using her and her hard-earned cash. Charlotte Rose, 28, has been sharing saucy content on the website since back in 2016. She quit her career in law enforcement several years later when the money began pouring in. I find this really, really interesting, to be completely honest. You know, that there's a woman who has a career, she's a cop, and she quits, she makes more money, and it's not the only story. There were several stories that I've already covered that are similar about women who get a job, and then once OnlyFans comes out, they decide to do saucy content instead. Now, why is that? I think what we're seeing is that there is a big difference between men and women. How many men are doing OnlyFans? I'm sure there are men who do OnlyFans. Not most people doing OnlyFans. In fact, women tend to be the gender that engages in this kind of behavior. Strip clubs. Strip clubs tend to be female. Women go to strip clubs to see women. That's the weirdest. That was, you know, I was a teenager and I had women being like, you want to go to the strip club? I'm like, why would, you're a woman. Why would you? They want to do it. Men and women, males and females are different. Now, I don't know about her being scared of gold diggers or whatever. I bring up this story just to point out that women are very different from men. And then I want to talk about how our culture is going about things. I was thinking about why was it that Vosh is a male rights activist? And I think there's some overlap here. Check this out. This is a YouTube trailer for League of Legends Wild Rift. To be honest, game looks pretty fun. I'm a big fan of Warcraft, the original Warcraft. I don't play Dota or League of Legends or anything like that, but you know, looks fun. I don't know if League of Legends. Is League of Legends Blizzard? It might be. Anyway, take a look at the thumbnail they use here on the right. It is a blue-haired woman smirking, and she's swinging her hips. She's got her hand on the left side of her hip, and she's got she's scantily clad, wearing just a bikini top of some sort with a bunch of bullets on it. Okay. So who are they marketing to? This is the interesting question. I talked about this the other night on Timcast IRL. I see this commercial on Twitter all the time for Wild Rift. Yes, they're marketing League of Legends to me. In it, you have two women. One has pink hair and she like punches the screen and then it shows this other woman kick a hole in a wall. The woman who punches the screen is then shown having massive like cyborg robotic fists and she's like punching and jumping. And this blue-haired woman, I don't know their names, maybe you know the names of the characters, is firing some kind of full-auto gun while laughing and popping bubble gun and gum and spitting a gun. And I'm like, who are they marketing to? I'll tell you. Dudes, not women. This female character is scantily clad, okay? Look at the male character. Well, so in the screen, I chose this frame on purpose. The woman in the forefront is wearing a large metal-looking dress, I guess. The guys are wearing armor. Now, the Viking-looking dude is wearing Viking-looking armor, so his legs are exposed. Then you've got this guy with massive pauldrons or whatever they're called, and he's got, you know, his metal armor. The woman to the left is wearing a skin-tight bodysuit. And then you have the woman to the far left who's wearing a short skirt. Her legs are exposed as well. Well, I guess there's some balance in the Viking having, his legs exposed, sure. This female on the right in the thumbnail, who's wearing nothing but a bra, a bikini top, whatever you want to call it. Do young women see that and say, I would like to be scantily clad like her? If they do, why is it? Young guys are going to see the attractive looking character avatar, it's sexy or whatever, and they're going to be like, I'd like to click on this. This is just reality. You take a look at how YouTube works. The thumbnails used to be nothing but like women in bikinis because people knew it would get them traffic. But she's got bullets. Is that something women are aspiring to? Here's what I see. The reason why you have so many male rights activists like Vosh is because what we have done over the past couple decades is prop up women in masculine roles. So men, when it comes to marketing, still want their women to be sexy. So of course they'll make the woman look sexy. But they want women to play, so they'll give her bullets and guns and whatever, because they're going to make a strong female character. Yet in these video games, you'll notice, like even going back to old World of Warcraft, if you got like the forest leather boots of agility or like the forest bracer leather armor, when the male character wore it, it covered his full body. And when the female character wore it, it was like a bra. I don't think women are looking at that and being like, this will provide me with protection. No, I think men are looking at it and playing the game for the sexy female characters. I think men play the games because they want to see sexy women run around doing these things. And it's a fact that the majority of the players of these games are men. When mainstream pop culture props up an image of women as extremely sexy men, I mean masculine, right? Engaging in masculine behaviors, you end up with a worldview based on females acting male. If your view of women is that they do male things, then when you have a male saying they're a female, or when you have a male saying they're a woman, you would likely advocate for them because you live in that world. You grew up in that kind of mixed reality of masculine traits applied to female bodies. I'm not saying it's like an absolute. I'm saying it's kind of a gradient with some overlap. That if you live in that world, it's no surprise that you're going to advocate for biological males to be these female to be women, because we have in video games female sexy characters in masculine roles. So masculine individuals will start to identify the other way. You see what I mean? I don't know if I'm explaining it very well. It doesn't just affect young girls who don't see strong feminine role models. It also affects males who see females acting masculine and think they want to be like that. I think this plays a role in a lot of this argument. Again, I also think people should be able to live how they want and should have civil rights and all that stuff. There's no argument against that. Simply, I think marketing and this drive is resulting in these perceptions. The reason I bring up the police officer who quit to be a porn star was because I think that deep down, biologically, there are differences between men and women. And I think it affects development and ultimately affects worldly perspective. So it's funny because I could say something like this and the feminists would get mad, but it's a fact based on their own logic. Females are worried about being attacked by men. They say not all men, hashtag not all men, right? Yeah, well, they're basically, they're not referring to trans men. They're talking about biological males as the main purveyors of violent crime. Males are the majority of perpetrators of violent crime, mostly against other males, for sure, but against women as well. If a woman is scared of being assaulted by a male, well, I get it. I do. They're different. These things are reality. That is a reality of biological difference. I think it's kind of pointless to talk to you about it, because the people who watch this probably already agree there's a difference between men and women, males and females. But I was thinking about Vosh and J.K. Rowling and how this ideology comes to be. And ultimately what I come to is, I've talked a lot about how if you keep showing women, females, in these video games, but doing masculine things like fighting in war, which is traditionally masculine. I'm not saying women can't do it. I'm saying it is traditionally masculine. And you don't have any strong role models doing traditionally feminine roles like protecting society, educating, nurturing, healing. Then you end up with a skewed perspective. You end up with people neglecting or ignoring or not wanting to be associated with femininity. And I think there's something wrong there. But, you know, one of the things I was thinking was, it's kind of how I tried to explain it. And I'll wrap it up with this, because it's, you know, I don't want to just keep repeating myself. If you have biological female characters in video games doing masculine things, and a male identifies with these masculine things, fighting in a war, and they see a hero who's biologically female, they may say they want to be like that. So you take a look at Laya Thomas, for instance, wants to be an athlete, you know, traditionally masculine. I know women compete, and I'm saying, but it leans towards the traditionally masculine, but wants to be a woman doing it. Well, maybe they identify with the women characters in the games and the media they've consumed. The same is true for women in the other direction, or say biological females. They grow up, they identify as female, but they see these strong masculine characters. So I think this plays a role. It's marketing. Dare I say it, it's capitalism. I'll leave it there, though. I'm not going to pretend like everything, I have all the answers. I was just, these are just my musings on why Vosh is a staunch advocate for males and tells a female to shut up. You know, trying to understand that. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. over at youtube.com/timcast. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.